Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your favorite time of week. You pull out your podcasting app, you download the crazy sheet, you get you something cold to drink. It's getting close to winter. Maybe you want a hot cocktail. I don't fucking know. But you get ready to talk about some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm in the podcasting studio. Scotty, I know you're at home because I can see those TVs in the back of you. How the hell are you, brother?
Man, I'm good. Excited for another week. We got off the schneid last week, so ready to get rolling. My man Dan Mullen did not give us much help last week.
No.
Jace Christman, the Mississippi State transfer kicker, misses two field goals, and they couldn't get it done. Georgia's legit. Florida's got major problems. I mean, they have got major problems.
Yeah. Mullen actually came out, closed practice to the media, which I thought was a bad idea. And then Kirby Smart, it was interesting.
Terrible idea.
Yeah. And Kirby Smart, I don't know if you saw it or not, but he basically came out after the game and said, hey, we recruit. We got better players. We can have better players that we can out scheme them. We can do this. Very Nick Saban-ish. You got to have better players. And he's like, basically, I'll recruit 366 days a year if you let me. And then Mullen on the SEC press conference this week, I don't know if you saw that, they asked him about recruiting and how it's getting addressed. And he said, it's season right now. We'll get to recruiting season when it's recruiting season. I think Mullen wanted out last year. I think he wants to go to the NFL. He reminds me of Chip Kelly. Doesn't seem like he wants to recruit. And I think you're starting to reflect it in that team. They lost a ton of talent last year. And this team isn't – it seems like eons ago when this team played Alabama and we thought they might be good because they have fallen off. And you're seeing that a lot as the season goes on right now. This season's 2 months in, and, I mean, some of these games, I feel like they were 2 years ago. And so it's crazy how things are developing as the season rolls. And we can't leave the state of Florida without talking about the Noles, man. Golly, I thought we had that game. I mean, with less than 30 seconds left, we're right there on that 6-1 money line parlay, only to come away with a push if you got it at 10, if you got it at 9.5 Saturday morning. It was a loser. God, that was crazy.
How about it also losing the over-under by the hook?
Oh, yeah.
It went over by a half point with that same touchdown. That's one of the worst beats ever. That rivals when I got a cover on an onside kickoff return in a Hawaii game at 2 Rice. O'clock in the morning a few years ago.
Yeah,
that is as bad of a beat as you can physically get. I mean, because they're running it's essentially a Hail Mary. It's just the flea flickers and tossing it around and hoping to get lucky. And literally, it goes into the end zone and you lose. I mean, that was just a brutal loss. But the games last week actually went a lot to script for the first time. That Michigan State game, and I'm going to say this for everybody that's watching that game, I think Michigan may still be the better team. That's a couple of bad turnovers. I don't want to say they're not as well coached because I think that's a little bit of an overstretch, but they just don't. Certain teams find a way to get it done, and Michigan State is getting this find a way to get it done. They found a way to get it done against Nebraska when they didn't play very well. This team just figures out how to get it done, and they figured out a way to get it done last week. And I thought that was a great game. Miami Pitt game, what a great game that was. Manny Diaz trying to hold on to his job. He clearly hadn't lost that team. I'm going to go against the grain of what everybody in America thinks. I don't think they need to fire Manny Diaz yet. I think I would give him one more year if I'm that athletic director, simply because there's been a lot going on since he got that job.
Yeah.
And it isn't like Miami wasn't broken when he got down there.
No, and I think he found a quarterback, man. That freshman – Tyler Van Dimes, brother, just dropping dimes. That kid is not scared. He was rolling with it. The edge rushing for Miami gave Pickett trouble all day. That guy spent so much time out of the pocket. He had two very costly interceptions. One turned to points. The other one was right there at the end of the game. All that being said, I love Pitt and the powder blue and the mustard yellow. I like what Kenny Pickett's doing. ACC is all over the map. You got Wake Forest undefeated. Clemson, still kind of a dumpster fire. North Carolina can't figure out what they're doing. I think Mack Brown retires at the end of the season. I think that's another big coaching vacancy. He does not look like he's having fun anymore down there on the sideline. And I kind of wonder if he's just going to walk off into the sunset after this one. The coaching carousel is going nuts. You got Sweaty P at Trash Can, the only man to win the Mountain West Conference and the Rose Bowl and get a statue erected of himself on campus, got let go. That's still even weird. Jerry Kill says he was still in the office on Tuesday helping him get ready. And at the same time, Clay Helton's already got him a new gig coming from USC all the way down to the Fun Belt, man. That's all happened since last week when we got together.
Man, how about the Fun Belt making moves? I mean, as we talked about last week, and then Middle Tennessee and
Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky going to the MAC. I mean, man, we got all kinds of moving and shaking going on in the league. I can't get by without talking about that awful, awful football game that I ended my night with Stanford and Washington. That, I don't know why in the world David Shaw gets all the love he gets for being a good football coach. That they are literally playing 1950 football. This, and don't tell me they can't recruit better athletes than that. I don't even think they're using the athletes they got very well, I'll be honest. And I just, that guy's beloved. And, you know, look, he seems like a heck of a great guy, probably a tremendous guy, probably creating really, really good men, the things that ought to matter in sports he's probably good at. But unfortunately, right now it's about W's. And I just, that's not a very good football team. And Washington ain't any better. I mean, it's an embarrassment. And then Jimmy Lake this week coming out talking about Oregon's not our recruiting rival. Well, you better hope the hell they are, because you're not going to get any talent if you don't. Those dudes about recruited you guys a ton, minus one coach coming in there and doing a good job for a 5-6 year stretch. I mean, Oregon's had so many better athletes than those dudes have had. And then they have two guys decommit, and one of them immediately commits to Oregon. And he's talking about Notre Dame's our rival, and we're going against better. You're not even the highest-rated academic school in the Pac-12. What are you talking? I mean, that was a bunch of gibberish. That was a bunch of gibberish. That just was, in my mind, stupidity.
Now, I saw that, and I was like, you got to be kidding me that comes out this week, that he wants to talk about recruiting. That's a huge matchup for these two teams. These are rivalry games. I know they're going to be playing this game in Seattle. We've got this game on the board. We're going to talk about it. We got 1 month of college football left, and I tell you what, the rankings are out. That's great. All's good. But if what we've seen in September and what we have seen in October, there's no way you can think that we're going to go through November and it's just going to be easy sailing unscathed. I think we're still going to get some wild upsets, some games that we don't see coming. I think the college football playoff is still in flux. There's several teams. I mean, Auburn has a path to get there if they can win out. Oklahoma, obviously, if they can win out, they've got a path. Oregon, Ohio State both have a path. I don't see anybody from the ACC having a path to get in. But I still think there's some good teams that are up there juggling around. I still can't figure out Oklahoma. And so it's going to be interesting as the weeks go by. Baylor's playing a lot better. And Oklahoma still has to play Baylor and still has to play Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State has got to be the least talked about team in the country that I think is actually really good.
Yeah, I agree. Oklahoma State is pretty good. And that's going to be a – you know, I think that's going to be a really fun game this weekend. But, you know, going back to last week, Ole Miss and Auburn was another game I thought we got exactly what we talked about us getting. But Ole Miss and Corral do not look the same. Mm-hmm. Talking about an exciting – I mean, that guy went in that game last week as maybe the Heisman front run, you know, and – I understand he's banged up, but has not looked good, especially against better competition. I think he's a lot of flash, so it's easy to get on the hype wagon. How about, as we get into November, Maxion getting started last night, baby. with a full 100-point game last night. Another game, we had 4 touchdowns in 3 minutes. I mean, just a bizarre ending to the Ohio game. I mean, just completely wild ending to that game. I guess they quit playing pass defense because they gave up those gigantic pass plays in the last 2 minutes of the game. I'm like, what in the world's going on?
Yeah, I was laughing last night.
Yeah,
we were watching the World Series. It was out of hand. I went in the other room to come watch football, and I turn on the Toledo game, and it's 42-32 with 8 minutes left, and I'm like, oh, this game's not even close to over at this point. You know, or maybe it was less than that. Maybe it'd been 4 minutes left, and they still almost came back in that one. So, yes, we got more action tonight, a couple of games. We got Central Michigan, Western Michigan's in action. We got
Northern Illinois and Kent.
I've still got some money on the table here, brother. We got NC State needs just one more win to hit that season win total. Buffalo needs one more loss to hit that season win total under. We've already hit the SMU ticket. I think Notre Dame is on their way. So feeling good about a couple of these. I got one more story for you. I forgot to tell you last week, Scotty. So a buddy of mine doesn't listen to the podcast, doesn't really bet on sports, on his way to Vegas, calls me up. He's from Chicago. He's like, dude, you got any picks for me this weekend? So I send him some plays. I send him my NFL plays. All good. Don't hear anything back. And I text him like Monday or Tuesday. And I'm like, hey, man, how was Vegas? And even though this guy is like 50 years old, he still likes to go to Dre's, which if you've been to Vegas, it used to be Barbary Coast, Bill's Casino, and now it's the Cromwell. I think that's right. It's right next to Bally's. It's like a 4-story hotel, but they've got Dre's on the roof, and it's a day club and then a late, late, late night place. Like, doesn't even get rocking until like 1 in the morning. And so they end up in Dre's. He's like, dude, we had a pretty good day with your picks. We didn't play them all. We played some other picks, having a good time, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, my buddy's never been married, so he's all about picking up the chicks, all about picking up the chicks. And he goes, and I get some drinks, talking to the bartender. And he goes, and I turn around, and my buddy's gone. And I look at the bartender, and I'm like, hey, man, where'd my buddy go? And he's like, oh. He's like, he just walked over there. And he looks over, he's like, oh, yeah, he's picking those girls up. He told me he was going to. He's picking those chicks up. And the bartender looks at him, he's like, hey, man, those aren't girls. And my buddy looks at the bartender, he goes, what? And he goes, those aren't girls, man. They're in here all the time. Those are dudes. And so anyway, my buddy turns and looks, can't find his friend anymore, runs down the escalator, can't find him, nowhere to be seen, ends up going back upstairs. And he said about 30 minutes later, his buddy came back up and he's like, dude, those chicks you picked up were dudes. And he said his buddy was sweating with this confused look on his face and said, we never need to talk about this ever again. And so since they don't listen to the show, I just put it on here. So nothing like a good tranny surprise to end your Vegas trip.
That is awesome. Look, man, you hear stories about that. There's no way that you can't just be completely inebriated to get to that, to get to that level. I mean, it's just, it just, oh man, that's unbelievable. Just he may think we'd never talk about it again, but his ass would hear about it every time I needed a good laugh.
So better go 6-3.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, better to go 6-3-1 than have you a tranny surprise. Oh, so Scott, that being said, 6-3-1 last week. Move us to 44-34-3. We got off the schneid, making some positive progress here. We are going to jump right in these games. Let's get right to Thursday night. First game we got is a little Sunbelt Thursday, Scotty. A little Sunbelt Thursday here. Let me pull the rotation sheet up. Sorry.
I love me some fun belt.
Georgia State, ooh la la, coming into this one. Over-under here is 53.5, 54. Ooh la la is laying 12. Georgia State scoring 24 points a game, giving up 30. They're 4-4 straight up, 5-3 against the number. Ooh la la scoring 32 points a game, giving up 19, 7-1 straight up, 3-5 against the number. Scotty, Thursday night, both these teams on a short week. How are we going to play it?
Oh, man, ooh la la, we're taking the under in this ball game. Ooh la la has been crushing, and I mean crushing unders when they're at home. So we're gonna ride this bad boy all the way down. I you originally look at this and you think, oh man, that's not a big number. This ought to be something that we can jump on. Let's take a look at the over. And then, man, you take a look at it, and dude, you want all over the under in this. I think that ULL is 7-0 on the under in their last seven home games. I'll get you some full stats on it in just a second. But the bottom line is they do not give up a ton of points, and they're kind of a grinded out offense. They're not a high flying, go get it kind of offense. They like to do some, they like to take their time and get down the field and run the football. And I think we're going to get a really, really close scoring game tonight or Thursday night.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I like the under here. ULLA is 1-7 to the under this season. We kind of forget about this team after that early loss to Texas. They've done well once they've gotten matched up against teams that they should be playing. They're 7-1 straight up. Defensively, they're playing good. I think Billy Napier, his name's going to be back mentioned again for some of these big-time jobs. So he knows what he's getting himself into from an audition standpoint. You do not want to lay an egg at this point in the season. He should handle this Georgia State team pretty good. I think they can grind on them, run the ball, control it. Won't have an issue with the turnovers, I hope. Ooh la la. Let's get this one in the books. First thing we got, Thursday night under in that spot particular there. Scotty, moving on down the sheet, let's go to another game on Friday. Va Tech's going to be traveling up to Beacon Hill to play Boston College. Over-under here is 47. BC's getting 3 at home. Va Tech scoring 24 points a game, giving up 22. They're 4-4 straight up, 3-5 against the number. Boston College scoring 25 points a game, giving up 20. They're 4-4 straight up, 4-4 against the number. Tell you where I'm going with this one, brother. I'm going under. These two teams are a combined 4-12 to the under on the season at 47. It's not that big of a number. Boston College has really struggled to get their offense on track since they lost Phil Jakovic. I think they've lost 4 against the spread since then, maybe 3 or 4 straight up. I'm doing all this from memory, so I may be off a little bit there. Now they're having to platoon the quarterbacks because they can't get production out of either one of them. Virginia Tech, I think he's coaching for his job up there and needs to get these wins. He's going to lean on this defense. They don't really have an explosive offense in this spot. I think both of these teams are going to beat each other up between the 30s quite a bit and just stay in that space. I like under 47. Not a big number. We're under that key number of 49. So if you're going to bet it, you got to want to be there. But I'm going under in this ACC matchup.
Well, the bottom line is that both these teams are challenged athletically. But, I mean, you look at BC, and basically since the quarterback injury against – I think that was against Missouri, they've scored 32. This is totals, game totals. 32, 40, 42, and 27 all conference games. And at the end of the day, their high scoring was Louisville, who is not a very good defense, as the Rebels showed us the first week of the year. But then you flip over and you take a look at the same thing at Boston College, and they go through – when they're playing teams that don't have a defense, they're not scared to go low scoring as well. So – at the end of the day, I like our under on this play. I just don't think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think both these teams are going to want to duke it out. Boston College has obviously been paying slow, but you look at Pittsburgh and Virginia Tech. They only scored 35 combined. Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech only scored 53 combined. At the end of the day, they just don't score a ton of points unless there's another team that's got a pretty high scoring offense as a whole. I think this game goes under as well.
To stay on the sexy, folks, let's get to this weird game. Air Force and Army Commander's Cup game here. Over-under is 37. Air Force laying 2.5. Army scoring 34 points a game, giving up 27. They're 4-3 straight up, 3-4 against the number. Air Force scoring 29 points a game, giving up 16. They're 6-2 straight up, 5-3 against the number. This game kicks off in Colorado at 9:30 a.m. I don't know why they picked that as a start time, but this will be the first game to start of the day. They're going to be at altitude. They're kicking at 9:30, brother. That's some body clock time that you're going to be dealing with. But these kids should be prepared to be up. I'm going under, man. It's a Service Academy game. These two teams have played each other every year, And over the last 5 years, these two teams have totaled 99 points over five games. They've got one time in 2016 where they scored 31-12. Prior 2 years to that, 20-3 and 23-6. Both of these teams play very similar offenses. They're going to grind it out. Army's quarterback that started the season, I don't think it matters that much, is still hurt and should be out. I think Air Force is the better team here. I'm actually going to put some money on Air Force to cover this 2.5 as well. Big rivalry between these two games, two teams, but I'm going under the total at 37 in this particular game.
Well, this is a neutral site game.
Oh, they're playing this game in Dallas, aren't they?
That's right. They're playing it. And playing in Arlington at Globe Life, which is the Rangers baseball stadium. So, but a couple of interesting tidbits. This game's been extremely low scoring as a group. I think there's only one time they've gone over this number as a game total since 2014. I think that was in 2016. But 17-4 the under is, and Army's last 21. Neutral site game. Yo, that's pretty hot number. So as you kind of get to this, last five meetings, the under's 4-1. With Air Force, they're 7-0 to the under their last seven meetings. I mean, look, and it's just nonstop under, especially when they're playing another service academy. I will take the under on this all day, even though it's low scoring. And we've talked about this before when you get these Iowa, Wisconsin numbers and things like that. When you start seeing over-unders in the 30s, it's generally really low scoring. Yeah. I mean, really low scoring. So I think Vegas even gets nervous setting a college line any lower than this. And so I think you look for a lot of really tight, low-scoring games. These guys just chew it up in the middle of the field. So I like the under in this game for sure.
Next one, Scotty, let's go to the Big Ten night game. Back to the Big House. Michigan will be at home laying 20, playing Indiana. Over-under here is 50.5. Indiana scoring 22 points a game, giving up 31. They're 2-6 straight up, 2-6 against the number. Michigan scoring 37, giving up 17. They're 7-1 straight up, 6-2 against the number. Indiana brought their new freshman quarterback in last week to relieve Jack Tuttle. They got a backdoor cover against a Maryland team that is just, I can't figure them out. Michigan had that war against Michigan State. Great game. Best game I watched on Saturday, I think. Do they bounce back in this spot? Does Harbaugh have these kids believing that they can come back after a loss against a huge rival in Michigan State and win this game in the Big House at home Saturday night against Indiana?
Man, I think Harbaugh bounces back in a big way. I think they pound these guys. This is as much about are you reeling for me as anything. They're 1-5 against the spread their last six games. So, I mean, that, you know, to me tells me a lot that they're kind of struggling. What I really like about this Michigan team is I feel like they're kind of getting back to Michigan football. I think Harbaugh needs to understand the way he likes to play and the guys he recruits, that kind of tough, hard-nosed, you know, get after them, you know, get after it style. And I just feel like it's kind of going back to Michigan. They're getting a little more back to Michigan football. I think Shea Patterson and those guys, they were kind of getting away from it, trying to run spreads and do some different things. And even in the loss last week, Michigan impressed me. I thought they were kind of fool's gold. That was one reason I thought Michigan State had the better win overall with that win at Miami than either one of these two teams had had. And I felt like that was going to carry weight in that ball game. At the end of the day, Michigan State really kind of got lucky to win that game. Got some breaks. They did everything they could in the first half to lose that football game. But then came back and did it. Bottom line is Michigan kind of impressed me against a good football team. And I think they get after what is turning into be a very, very bad plus very injured Iowa football team.
Indiana football team.
Indiana.
No, but I agree with you here. I think Michigan's not that bad. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing how they finish out the season. I could definitely see this team going 10-2, which I think would be a great season for Michigan, and I think they've got the gusto to do it this year. They had some bad fumbles there at the end. That's what ended up costing them. Otherwise, they win that game, and who knows? I mean, if they win that game last week, I bet we're looking at a 24-25 number in this Indiana game here. They're at home, big house at night. I do not think we lay an egg in this spot. I think they get it done, keep on rolling. Let's go, Big Blue. Next game, Scotty, let's go to the Hugh Freeze Bowl. All the way down on your rotation sheet to game 356. Over-under here is 67.5. Ole Miss is laying 10 as Liberty comes to town. Liberty scoring 37 points a game, giving up 17. They're 7-2 straight up, 6-3 against the number. Ole Miss is scoring 39 points a game, giving up 28. They're 6-2 straight up, 5-3 against the number. What are we gonna, what can we expect from the Hugh Freeze Bowl? This game's got a little bit more meaning to it, maybe to Lane Kiffin and the Hugh Freeze and maybe some of the players at Ole Miss, but I don't know. This game's been talked about, and both these teams have been on a gauntlet, man. I mean, Liberty, this is their 10th game. This is Ole Miss's 9th game, and Ole Miss has had to play that gauntlet coming through the SEC. They've played all those teams in the last few weeks. How much do they have left in the tank? I mean, Corral looked like he was just out there. I mean, he looks in pain out there. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of game plan Ole Miss has. He has not been explosive with his legs the last couple of weeks playing this Liberty team. And Liberty's got a quarterback that a lot of people think have NFL talent as well. And I definitely think Hugh Freeze is trying to play his way back into a big coaching job.
No doubt Hugh Freeze is excited about this trip. I don't think it's lost on Lane and that he's got to win this game, and I think he knows he's got to win it in convincing fashion. There's some rumor out there that they had 9 starters out for part of the week with injury. 9 offensive starters. That's different. You know, that would be Ely, that would be Corral. We can, you know, lay our arms around most of them. But at the end of the day, Ole Miss is banged up. But, man, 10 straight games for Liberty, they got to be getting banged up too. And you start looking, and we talked about this, you start playing 9 and 10 weeks in a row without an off week, and it's hard to cover. You are beat up. You're tired. It's hard to answer the bell. I think Liberty's going to have some of that problem already. And then you mix in that Ole Miss is a more talented football team than they are. You know, I do think the Ole Miss faithful, I am so interested to see the response that Freeze gets when he comes back out and he walks onto that field. Does he get a clap? Do they acknowledge, hey, man, you did a really good job here? Are they pissed that it ended bad? You know, what's the feel of that fan base? Can't wait to see. You know, Freeze met with Kiffin when he first took the job.
Right.
And I think talked about some of the successes and things they had. So this is a fascinating matchup to me. At the end of the day, I just think Ole Miss has got too much talent for these guys, and they're going to beat them and beat them comfortably. The real thing for me is I think Ole Miss may purposely try to pour it on if they get a chance, which is a little more than most people would say. I mean, you look and nobody's beaten these guys big in a while. So this number of 10 points is a big number. But I just think Ole Miss has got too much firepower for them. I don't think this offense is nearly as good at Liberty as people think it is. They do a great job of scoring a bunch of points on some bad teams, Massachusetts, North Texas, Middle Tennessee, you know, people like that. Best team to me that they've scored any real number of points on is UAB. Scored 36 on UAB. That's probably their best offensive performance. They could only score 21 against Syracuse. You know, that's he scored 45 on Old Dominion. I mean, only scored 21 against Troy. I think Ole Miss holds these guys in the mid-20s. I think Ole Miss scores 50. That's my line. Yeah. I think it's an easy cover.
I agree with you. I mean, Ole Miss so far has had to play Bama, Arky, Tennessee, LSU, and Auburn trying to get ready for this game. They're battle-tested. Whether Corral is going to be 100% or not, I'm not sure, but I think they'll have a game plan in place. It's not like they're going to sneak up and not find they have a quarterback on Saturday. Flip side of this, Liberty's defense, the offenses they have matched up with against this so far this season are ranked 125, 127, 125, 120, 124, 42, 90, 96, and 126. And they're about to see the number 5 offense in the country. Whether Corral's 100% or not, they're going to see a more explosive offense than they have seen all year long. I think they're going to struggle But I also think Hugh Freeze is going to throw everything he has at this game with a kitchen sink trying to get the win here. I think Ole Miss has just got too much in there. I like it. I'm going to go with the Rebels in this spot. We haven't been on the Rebels in a while, so we'll come back to them a little bit. Ooh, Scotty, let's talk about another team from the great state of Mississippi. Let's go to game 376. Mississippi State's going to be traveling up to Fayette-Nam to play the Arkansas Razorhogs. We hadn't talked about these two teams in a few weeks. Mississippi over-under here is 56. Arkansas is laying 5. State scoring 28 points a game, giving up 24. They're 5-3 straight up, 4-4 against the number. Arkansas is scoring 32 points a game, giving up 23. They're 5-3 straight up, 5-3 against the number. I wouldn't waste my breath talking about Mississippi State. Why don't you go ahead and tell me what we're going to get out of this game in Fayette-Nam?
Well, I will tell you, I think State played the best game they played under Mike Leach. In my opinion, last week against Kentucky. I thought they played really well. They played well in College Station a couple weeks ago as well. State's got three good wins. They've beaten three of the four best teams they've played. You know, Alabama being the only good team they haven't beaten, and they got their doors blown off in that. But they've lost to some bad teams. You know, I would call this not a very good LSU team. Had no business losing that Memphis game. So, I mean, they've lost a couple of games they shouldn't. What's the look of this team and the outlook? I would love to know what the line in this game would be had Mississippi State beaten Memphis. And they're a 6-2 football team, because candidly, I think that's what they are. That's one of the worst, most egregious calls I've ever seen in college football. You simply can't miss that call. And as an official, you got to have the balls to say, I blew the whistle. And that's the bottom line. There's no business for that going on. Memphis may have still won that game because there was still time to play. But what if that call doesn't go on? State wins that game. Boy, I just feel like this would be, there's a different look to this Mississippi State Mike Leach team. Everybody, and there's a lot of Mississippi State fans that are on Will Rogers. If you're on Will Rogers, you're an idiot. This kid should be a redshirt freshman. He had to play last year as a true freshman. The kid's coming around. He's getting it. Is he the most talented kid? No. But how many times has Mike Leach had the most talented kid at quarterback? He needs a kid who's smart and makes good decisions. And I think Will Rogers can do that. He is growing into this system. If you think Will Rogers is the problem, then, man, I just can't help you. I mean, you need to get behind this guy, because there's very, very likely he may be a 60-year quarterback for this team, because he's going to have the opportunity as a – you know, to get all 5 years, which will give him a 6 because of COVID. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know, at least he's going to want to get rid of him, and I don't think he's got NFL ability. So, I mean, he may be there a long time, and if he is, you know, Leach may be able to do some crazy good stuff with him. He doesn't have a great arm, but he is starting to make better decisions, and more importantly, he's getting more patient. But the biggest difference is Mississippi State is running the football, and they did a really good job against Kentucky running the football, and they're trying to get out there and do some things. They got two really good backs, but one of the kids is banged up this week. We don't know if he's going to play, but Marks is their best back, and he is going to play. So, I mean, I don't think that's as much of an issue. I just think in this ball game, it's going to be a close football game. Arkansas, Mississippi State, I expect much what we got last year, which was a really, really close, hard-fought football game. I actually think 5's too much. I think this is a 3-4-point ball game either way. Bottom line is, I think Mississippi State is a live dog in this. They got as equal good a chance to win as they do to lose by 5. You know, and I'm going to play money line on this, and I've been pretty good at picking a money line game every now and then. I think this is a lie. I think State's a live dog. I think they are playing with some confidence. I'm also going to take this line, though, because – I do, and I will have more on the line, because I'm not going to give away those points as well. But I think this is going to be a close football game.
I agree. I like it. Scotty, let's go out west for a little bit. Let's go to game 399-400 on your rotation sheet. Oregon traveling to Seattle to play Washington. Over-under here is 51.5. Washington's plus 7 at home. Oregon scoring 36 points a game, giving up 23. They're 7-1 straight up, 3-5 against the number. Washington scoring 22 points a game, giving up 19. They're 4-4 straight up, 2-6 against the number. We were against Washington last week. We did not pull that one off. I don't know how. David Shaw still can't win that game. But I'm going with Oregon here, man. I think Jimmy Lake put a little gunpowder in the cannon and launched it up north. I mean, launched it down south at those guys at Oregon, and I think that was a bad idea. Mario Cristobal, the only game this team hasn't looked good offensively was the game when Moorhead was out. Anthony Brown is progressing a little bit as a quarterback. He made some throws last week that he looks more comfortable. This team plays physically. If Cristobal has his way, he wants to pound the ball, and then finally get into the third quarter and just dominate you. And I think he's going to be able to do that against this Washington team. Washington has been inept on offense all season. I don't think that's going to change here. I'm not a giant fan of the offensive coordinator. Any stop that the guys made, I think they're going to struggle right here. And I think Oregon at the same time, I mean, they read the press clippings. They see what's out there. They see they have a path to get there. With that Ohio State win, it helps negate that loss that they've got on their schedule. But I think Oregon has to keep winning, has to win convincingly. This is a rivalry game for these guys, man. I know they've got Oregon State, but Oregon State's been a dumpster fire since Jaquiz Rogers was there for the most part. And this Washington team has had the better of them a few times. I think Oregon comes down here, goes up there, gets it done, covers this number easily. I think it gets ugly for Washington after this. They're going to have to wonder, are they going to have to go reboot that coaching staff? What are they going to do? I like the Ducks all the way in this one.
I like the Ducks as well. Look, you take out those two games where they scored 24 against Stanford and Cal when Moorhead wasn't on the sideline, and both those games were close. They lost one. It was close against Cal. Moorhead's a good offensive coordinator, and I think he understands how to call the game. They've scored, with 34 in a couple weeks. They were 41, 48, 35, and 31, with that 35 being at Ohio State. The bottom line is that's more of what you're going to expect out of this team. I just don't think Washington can keep up. I think that's the bottom line. That offense is challenged. Their defense is I would say decent, but not nearly as talented as those defenses Peterson had out there. At the end of the day, I just think Oregon's got firepower for these guys, and they get outside of a touchdown on them.
I like it, Scott. Let's stay out west, brother.
And I want to say I was glad the playoff committee rewarded Oregon for that big win. At Ohio State, because Ohio State's a legit football team. Now, look, they're a better football team now that they've changed coordinators and have someone else calling that defense. But at the end of the day, that was a big win for Oregon. And I think you also have to take into account, if we're going to look at everything that went on, you've got to look into that Moorhead was not there, and that offense looked markedly worse without him than it does with him. I think the committee actually got that right. There's an asterisk by that loss to Stanford to me because Moorhead's not there.
Well, not only that, but there was a terrible call at the end of that game that went against Oregon. Yeah. That I wouldn't have been surprised if the committee came out and said, hey, we slotted Oregon here. They've got the big Ohio State win. Yeah, Moorhead was out. Oh, and by the way, that was one of the worst effing calls we've seen in a long time that decided a game for Stanford in that spot. And so I'm with you. I think they did the right thing slotting where they are. I was happy with it. I don't pay much attention to it until we get down to the end, but I think they made the right call. Staying out west, Scotty. Fresno at home in the Valley, hosting Boise State. Lions 5, over-unders 58.5. Boise scoring 29 points a game, giving up 21. They're 4-4 straight up, 5-3 against the number. Fresno State scoring 35 points a game, giving up 20. They're 7-2 straight up, 6-3 against the number. I'm going Fresno all the way, brother. I'm staying on the Jake Haener train as long as I can, man. I love what this kid's doing. They got the win last week for us against San Diego State. That's probably the best defense they've seen all year. This Boise State team, to me, does not have an identity. Offensively, I haven't quite figured out what they're trying to do. We're going from there. Andy Avalos is coming as the new coach. He's obviously the Boise guy that's been in there. The defense has been marginal at best in this spot, but I think they're about to play in a super explosive offense in Fresno State. Fresno State also looks at this as a chance they can win the Mountain West with that win over San Diego State. Boise State's always kind of been the big brother in this conference. I think they get these guys coming down to them to play at home. Night game in Fresnac, brother. Give me the Bulldogs, Green V Valley, -5. Love this game.
Yeah, the Broncos 1-5 against the spread last 6 against these guys. Something to think about when you're looking at that game. But I just think Fresno's playing good football. You know, they're, as you said, 7-2. But I just like how this offense to me is balanced. They play the good schedule. They can move the football. And, you know, I just like this football team. I think Boise looks like a team that has really got some problems up front. And I think they're going to have a lot of trouble keeping up with Fresno. So the bottom line is I think they win this game comfortably would be the way I see it. I think this is a touchdown to a 10-point game for Fresno.
Yeah, I like it. I like it all the way around. Let's stay in the Mountain West, man. I want to talk about Nevada, Carson Strong. You haven't seen this kid play yet. He's going to get a chance to play on Sundays. You got two good quarterbacks coming out of the Mountain West out there. Nevada's laying 10 against San Jose State. Over-under here is 55. San Jose State scoring 21 points a game. They're giving up 22. They're 5-4 straight up, 4-5 against the number. Nevada's scoring 37 points a game, giving up 24. They're 6-2 straight up, 6-2 against the number. I'm rolling with Nevada here. I don't think this line's close to right. I haven't figured out if I'm stepping into a pile of shit or what's going on here. But San Jose State, since they've lost Starkel, offensively, they can't move the ball. And Nevada, on the other hand, man, those guys, they had the Fresno State loss a couple of weeks ago, but I've loved this team all season long. It's going to be cold up there for that night game in Reno Saturday night. But Nevada to cover 10, I think they're going to blow the doors off of San Jose State. This line to me is I'm either dead money right on this thing or I am stepping in a trap that's a big pile of dog shit.
Well, at the end of the day, I just think Nevada is a better football team. I think even with Starkel, they've got the better quarterback on the field. And I just think this team is going to get it done. That's the bottom line. I don't think that San Jose State is that good, and I don't think they're good enough to play with these guys. They have not done well. Their last four or five trips to Nevada, they've not covered. So, you know, at the end of the day, I like Nevada to keep rolling and get it going. And get us another cover late. Chance for you to make it up late.
Get it done late. Scotty, that's the board that we got for this week. Rapid fire. What else you looking at?
You know, I have been riding both of these teams. I'm going to talk about them twice at once all season, and I'm going to keep riding them. I'm going to lay 3.5 for Okie State at West Virginia. I think they're a good football team. And I'm Michigan State. I'm going to lay 3 at Purdue. Somebody's going to beat Michigan State. I don't think they're going to go undefeated, but I don't think it'll be this weekend. Although Purdue is catching them at the right spot. But when you've got a great running back, that guy's – look, if he isn't the Heisman leader right now, then some people need to learn to watch college football. That guy's putting a good football team on his back and carrying them. And I think he's going to do it again. I'm going to surprise people when I say this, speaking of Heisman. I still think Robinson at Texas ought to be a Heisman guy. He can't help that team around him is garbage. That guy's a really good football player. But I like Okie State and Michigan State both laying points on the road to good football teams.
I got a couple. Tennessee on the road at Kentucky getting 1. I like Tennessee to get it done this week. I think they pull the upset in Lexington. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, I've been impressed with this Tennessee team. Kentucky, not as much. I think Tennessee can come and get this one done. I got another road team for you. Texas traveling up to Iowa State, getting 6.5 to 7. I think people are writing this Texas team off. I still think they're more talented than Iowa State. This has been a struggle game for them over the last several years. Brocktober is over for Iowa State. This Iowa State team has been massively – I mean, they may finish the season 9-3, but not nearly the expectations this squad has. I know they'll be ready for Texas. Texas has been strange, man. Like, if you bet Texas in the first half this year, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know there's at least 3 or 4 games that they've covered and then turn around and they've lost the game and missed the cover in the second half. They have just gone to sleep in the second half of this game, but they're still averaging close to 40 points a game. I think this could be a game Texas gets it right against Iowa State and pulls the upset in that one. One more that we've got here involving a Texas team. Auburn coming to College Station. A&M laying 4.5 in this one. I like the Aggies. I think I may get on the Calzada Armada. Auburn's got a shot, like I said, that they could still win the SEC West if they have to win out to do it. But this Texas A&M team, they may have tried to – you're coming off of a bye, get a little chance to get some extra practice in here. I think we're going to get a heavy dose of run game for Texas A&M in this one. and try to bottle up that Auburn offense. That Texas A&M defense is solid, man. They're giving up 16 points a game. I mean, over-under in this game is 49. But I'm going to roll with A&M in this one. I think they've got a good shot to pull this. And plus, you've got Bo Nix on the road. I know he has played better in Harsin, you know, since he's been there. But I'm going to go with Texas A&M laying 4.5 at home in this one.
Yeah, my book's got A&M at 3.5. So yeah. I really like A&M here. Nix, we talked about this. He has been better on the road this year. He has grown as a player under this coaching staff. Not shocking that somebody else has developed him better than Gus Malzahn would have. But I just think this is a little too much. Aggies coming off a bye week. I think they're going to play good football. Another game I like, if we're going to just talk about Texas teams, let's talk about the Beat Beeps. Laying 11 at UTEP this week. UT San Antonio Trailer, can he block out all the noise? Because clearly he and Sonny Dykes are going to get a chance to coach somewhere else if they would like, because TCU is going to come after the one that Texas Tech doesn't. Because candidly, I think Tech may get someone over TCU, and I know that's going to sound strange.
Interesting.
But I think Tech may get the guy they want. So anyway, I think it's a I think it's a really good position for Texas Tech. But I like UT San Antonio to keep winning, laying 11 against UTEP. This just team has got a lot of momentum, and they are covering numbers like mad. And I think they do it again this week. Although Dana Dimmel has done a really, really good job at Texas El Paso this year.
Yeah, he has. But I do think UTSA is the much better team here. I think they'll just wear this team out as the game goes on. I agree with you. Late night game, man. Kicks off at 10:15 Eastern time, so it'll be the last one to kick off, I think. I don't think there's a Hawaii late nighter. Oh, there is. Yeah, Hawaii's at home against San Diego State. Getting 7.5 in that one. I'll probably be watching that game too. But, man, that's all I got, brother. It's a big board. Only thing is we didn't talk about is LSU-Bama.
Yeah, I got one more game that I like. I think Pitt's going to lay wood to Duke. This made it. This was so close to the board for me. Duke has really, really struggled. But the reason I think this number's as low as 21 is Pitt was bad last week. And Duke is better at home than they've been on the road. But, I mean, they have gotten just fully smoke showed a couple of times. They have lost 45-7 to Wake, 48-0 at Virginia, and 38-7 at North Carolina. Their wins are North Carolina A&T, Northwestern, and Kansas, all at home for Duke. I think Pitt comes in and just rails these guys. I think it's going to be very much like what Pitt did to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I agree with you. We may end up putting this in the notes on the board because I think that game needs to be there. You think LSU has any chance to stay within 29 points of Alabama?
Not as I see it, but I mean, look, Orgeron finds a way to rally the troops. I mean, I thought Florida was going to drill them, but you know, man, he figured out how to get it done. And but this Alabama team is different. They are good, but Bryce Young is still really, really young. Like I've said before, their wide receivers don't. They don't make some of the catches that the guys have made. To me, that was the difference at Texas A&M. But it is hard for me. I want no part of this game, especially after the way Bama looked against Tennessee in that first half. Do I want any part of this game? Because I can see LSU getting a backdoor cover, but I don't have enough confidence that Bama's going to come out hot to take the first half line. Especially after, again, what happened against Tennessee. So I'm a little bit gun-shy on this game. But, no, I cannot imagine Orgeron keeps it close.
Top play, Scotty, what do you got? 1, 2, 3, 4. How many you got in this one?
You know what? I think I am going to shock some people with this pick. But I'm going ooh-la-la under 54 on Thursday night.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. I'm going to go Nevada, minus 10. Like I said, I'm either going to step in it or I'm going to be dead right on this one, so I'm pretty excited about it. Folks, give us some love. Rate us. Give us some reviews. You can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at NipMark, and he's at ScottDenson1. We appreciate all the shares, the reviews, the questions. If you get a chance to listen to this, tell some of your friends. We're having a good time with it. Until then, we'll talk to you next week.